Good morning. It's kind of wet out there, but it's cozy inside, so we'll just worship and praise all the more. Our scripture today is from Luke 22, verses 15 to 18, from the English Standard Version. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." It was Thursday evening on the 14th of the month of Nisan in the Jewish calendar. Passover would begin at dusk with the sharing of the Passover meal, and it would conclude the following afternoon. So, as the dark of evening approached, Jesus gathered his disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem because the most sacred feast of the Jewish religion year had to be eaten within the city limits. Now, the Passover meal was a family celebration. And in this case, Jesus would act as their traditional head of household, and he would be explaining the meaning of the Passover. You remember when Karen Mead did the Passover in tradition for you last year, how wonderful it was as she'd explain as she was going along. Well, this one was different. This time, the meaning would be quite different because it was to be their Last Supper. And within hours would come Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. This time would be different because Jesus would, through his words and actions, establish a new Passover for the coming of the kingdom of God. He would establish a new ordinance for the church in the age of salvation. It would be different this time because Jesus used the unleavened bread to represent his body given for his disciples and for the sins of many. He implied that his death was as the new Passover lamb, a sacrifice of atonement, leading his people into a new exodus from bondage and slavery to sin. It was different this time because Jesus used the Passover wine to represent the blood of the new covenant, which would be poured out for the forgiveness of sins and would then establish a harmonious relationship with God. It would symbolically cover sin and identify God's children, just as it did during the original Passover, making them righteous in his eyes. This time, Jesus took two symbols associated with Passover and infused them with fresh meaning using these words. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup, after he had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The bread was broken, blessed, and shared and consumed. The wine was poured, shared, sanctified, and swallowed. And then, continuing in his role as their teacher and rabbi, Jesus shared with his disciples explicit instructions for their leadership role in his coming kingdom, calling them to a new level of readiness for their mission and teaching them again about humility and the servant leadership role, concluding, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Mark 10:45. Then, to illustrate his point, Jesus humbled himself. He took on the servant's role And he washed the feet of all 12 of his disciples. He did that in order to show that all who follow him must imitate his model of self-sacrificial love and service. And then he wrapped it all up in a single new command: love one another as I have loved you. And you know, even though his closest friends would let him down, would betray, and deny him, Jesus remained the righteous and suffering servant. He stayed faithful to God's purpose because prophecy and promise had to be fulfilled. He remained obedient to his Father's will and for the fulfillment of the plan of salvation. Now, today, the Lord's Supper is a reflection of that Last Supper, and it's in remembrance of what Christ did, not only for the disciples, but for us. It's a continuing celebration of the grace we receive as a result of his sacrifice. Well, the disciples needed to understand that sacrifice because sooner than they could possibly have imagined, they would be sharing that news with all the world. They would become the broken body of Christ to demonstrate that humility and servant role. And that commission, that privilege and responsibility, didn't end with them. Every follower of Christ must be a truth teller. And we must help others see the truth of Christ's sacrifice, why it was necessary, what it accomplished, and what it means for all of mankind. How his body and blood were the sacraments that saved our souls and saved our lives, and are now the sacraments of the Lord's Supper. This is the way John Calvin spoke of it. By the showing of the symbol, the thing itself is also shown, and the truth of the thing signified is surely present there. For why would the Lord put in your hand the symbol of his body except to assure you of a true participation in it? So yes, these symbols, which are the elements of the Lord's Supper, retain that rich and complex meaning that Jesus gave to them at the Last Supper. When we partake of them, we enter into the life-giving, vital presence of the living God. And in this encounter, several things are symbolized and affirmed. First, the Lord's Supper represents Christ's death. We show his death, we proclaim his death on our behalf every time we participate in consuming the bread and the cup. We act in commemoration and obedience because those who have been saved by grace willingly obey the Lord. We honor his death because it assured that no further sacrifice is necessary. That's what we mean by it saved our lives. So that we as believers have eternal life. Jesus said, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. That's from John 6:57. So the second thing that is symbolized by the Lord's Supper is that we are actively participating and claiming the benefits of Christ's death. Each of us who reaches out and takes the bread and the cup affirms that we're sharing the redemption benefits earned for us by the death of Jesus. Those benefits, in short, are to be forgiven, to be made holy, justified, and freed from bondage to sin, adopted, and reconciled to right relationship with God. At the Lord's table, our actions, along with our intentions, reclaim this blessing of the Holy Spirit as a sign of grace. Scripture reminds us, he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53:12. Yes, even there on the cross, Jesus poured out his compassion, his forgiveness, his very lifeblood, and his soul for our blessing and our benefit. And third, the Lord's Supper symbolizes spiritual nourishment. In the same way that ordinary food nourishes our physical bodies, we find spiritual nourishment and refreshment for our souls by the bread and the wine that Jesus offered to us. He said in John 6:53, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." We hunger and thirst for that nourishment because it's necessary for our souls. So when we obey Jesus' command, take, eat, and then we go through the physical activity of eating and drinking the Lord's table, there's a corresponding spiritual sustenance because of our faith and our obedience to those directions that were laid down in Scripture. Oh, we understand it doesn't require a physical ceremony to receive this blessing, to receive this spiritual nourishment, but we are called to receive Holy Communion in the church. It's one of our sacraments. Because it not only meets Jesus' commandments, his ordinance, but it also answers Jesus' prayer. Listen, that they may be one, even as we are one, Father, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. From John 17:22-23. The Lord's Supper is not just an ordinary meal among human beings. It is fellowship with Jesus in his presence and at his table. And in this unity of spirit, we renew and strengthen our trust in Christ, and we may expect to be more deeply blessed both individually and as a congregation. Blessed, as the Holy Spirit says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. We all partake of the one bread. The unity of believers is beautifully exhibited at the time of sharing the Lord's Supper, because it is in sharing in the body and blood of Christ, reaffirming his sacrifice to save us, that we come together in worship and holy communion with other believers. And that's when we find, as Philippians 2:1-2 tells us, we find joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. We can see then that the Lord's Supper reflects complete reconciliation, continuing nourishment, an ongoing fellowship with God to be received over and over again unto the end of the world. So think of the Lord's Supper as a gift of grace, amazing grace, a way in which God equips us to better serve him. It confirms God's action on our behalf. It communicates his word to us and characterizes his covenant promises. The very ordinance of the Lord's Supper conveys its meaning by its visible nature, not by words, not by pictures, but by actions, by sensations. Not only do we hear about Jesus' death for us, but we see his body given for us. And during the Lord's Supper, we taste and we smell and touch all of the elements. So we're personally engaged at both the physical and spiritual level. Do you see how Jesus used two of the most fragile elements as symbols of his body and blood and established them as a lasting memorial to his death? It wasn't a monument of carved marble or molded brass. It was just bread and wine. Two simple components, food and drink, that are required to nurture our very physical life and to symbolize the nourishment of our spiritual life. There, during the Passover meal, Jesus blessed, broke, and offered bread to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." He passed around a cup, telling them to divide it among themselves, and said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." And he instructed them all to drink of it. There at the Last Supper, Jesus was focused on the spiritual relationship between himself and his disciples. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we focus on our spiritual relationship to him. So we can be deeply aware of his presence here in our midst. Do you remember after his resurrection, Jesus' encounter with two of his followers on the road to Emmaus? Do you recall when it was that they came to spiritual awareness of the Lord's presence? That's right. Scripture says, "When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him." When we are faithful to his will, we too are invited to dine with him and to know him in a personal way. That's why Scripture reminds us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. As the Lord's table revives and renews our spirit, it prepares us for further engagement into the duties that we are called to pursue for his glory. And there we are making a bond and a pledge with our Lord and with each other as members of his body. At the Last Supper, Jesus put in place a new covenant, ordaining that believers continue to come in remembrance and worship by partaking of the Lord's Supper in communion with him. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, that someday we will all share in the hope, the promise, and the blessing of the new covenant when the kingdom of God comes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to worship you, to praise you, and remember the ultimate sacrifice that brought about the new covenant for us. As we remember your Last Supper, and we come together to share the Lord's Supper, may we continually seek spiritual nourishment and deeper communion with you. Prepare us for the greater banquet to come, and the glory that awaits us in your heavenly kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.